Hey there, welcome back to Reality TV. Thank you so much for all the birthday wishes, all the love you guys showed me yesterday, June 14th, Flag Day. I am still in my very early, I'm just going to say it. I'm 41. I'm very proud to be alive after a very long year, so I'm just going to celebrate it. And age is nothing but a number, right? Yeah, let's just tell ourselves that. So anyway, I celebrated my birthday in one of the best ways possible, and that was watching The Housewife and the Hustler that debuted last night on Hulu. It was actually way better than I expected it to be, so I'm going to talk about that today. But first, I got to talk a little bit about 90 Day Fiancé because I absolutely forgot to talk about Mike and Trish and Natalie last week. I will still want to talk about what I left you with last week, and that was this Amy Schumer clothing line. I know it's very old news, but for some reason, I can't get over the fact that it's just been completely forgotten about. There was like this huge media blitz about Amy Schumer coming out with this great clothing line for women, by women, and it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, it just freaking disappeared. And the only place that you can find any of the clothing items, Nordstrom, but it's Saks Off Fifth, and it is severely discounted. They cannot get rid of this stuff. It's marked down to like $7 or $10, and it originally was almost $200, which was problematic in and of itself because the everyday woman cannot afford a $200 sweatshirt, right? So I guess that's maybe all I wanted to say about it is go ahead and Google it and try to figure out what the hell happened to it. Did it just not get purchased? Did everyone hate it, but no one was talking about it, which is really weird because we all talk about things that we hate, just like, well, hopefully you don't hate my other podcast with Amanda. Hopefully you love to hate the things that we love to hate. Go and check it out. I'm not going to pimp it out here because you know where to find it. Link is in the show notes. But that actually leads to one of the things that I had asked Amanda this week or had talked about in regards to a blind item that we pulled up. And of course, it was talking about Chrissy Teigen. And I didn't even know it at the time because the story was breaking as we were recording. I went and I pulled up the news from various highly regarded scholarly online articles, you know, like UK Daily Mail and all those sorts of Radar Online, Us Weekly magazines online this morning. And what do you know? Chrissy Teigen was being called out by this guy, Michael, who was on Project Runway, and I'm forgetting his last name right now, but it's all over Twitter and, well, not blind items because we know who did it right now. She made sure that she was going to make his life a living hell, that he wasn't going to get any work. And sure enough, it was difficult for him to get jobs because not only Chrissy, but her stylist or her makeup artist went on a mission to make sure that he would never be hired. And it was all based on an alleged tweet that he made that had a racial slur in it, but it was 100% determined that it was photoshopped, like someone put a racial slur in something that he did not do, and it's been proven, but she just didn't give a shit. He went into like a deep depression and all this kind of stuff, which I do think she could have triggered and obviously did trigger. I would hope that just one person wouldn't make you want to kill yourself, especially if it's Chrissy Teigen. And yes, I'm sure it's possible that he was in a depression because of her, but also there would likely be other contributing factors. But still, I kind of love that she's being called on this because it truly is kind of cathartic because you're seeing, and even if you weren't bullied, you just knew that kid or that nasty, bitchy girl. And I'm projecting maybe some issues upon her, but I think she should be called out just like she was calling everyone else out, especially when she's telling people to kill themselves. It's one thing to troll people, which is already just pathetic and useless, really. But to tell people that they need to kill themselves and take a dirt nap, that was another phrase that she liked to use. It's just really not something that you can say, I'm a different person now, which is what her apology, was I'm a different person than I was 3 weeks ago before I got called out on all this shit. Well, if you truly were a different person, you would have come out and said it before. But okay, enough of Chrissy Teigen. I don't even want to give her any more attention. Whether you're hitting the gym or you can only squeeze in a walk from your laptop to your fridge, you probably need to shake things up. Ritual, the makers of my favorite multivitamins, have done it again by formulating a clean, plant-based protein formula specifically created to support nutrient needs of all different life stages, 18 plus, pregnancy and postpartum, and 50 and up. Now, I told you about my iced coffee recipe last time, which has made my homemade latte into a guilt-free treat. But now I've been throwing it into my latest smoothie of choice, a banana, some almond milk, a couple frozen berries, an ice cube or two in there. Then I add a scoop of essential protein and it gives it a little vanilla kick, a little creaminess. So it's like a shake I'd order at a pricey ice cream shop. Ritual's delicious taste isn't on accident or because it's filled with additives or artificial flavors, though. Direct from farmer vanilla bean extract that's sustainably harvested in Madagascar makes all the difference. No gross powdery aftertaste. And with 20 grams of pea protein made from peas sustainably grown and farmed right here in the U.S., it's a clean way to deliver a soy-free, gluten-free, and non-GMO protein source from the brand you know you can trust. So why not shake up your Ritual? To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/realityTV to add essential protein today. Easy link is in the show notes. That's ritual.com/realityTV. Let's get into some 90 Day Fiancé here because, like I said, I really don't care about most of the couples on here. Angela and Michael, talk to Michael if he does or doesn't like your boobs. We don't need a whole season of it, right? As far as little mama's boy Brandon and Julia, they're both spoiled and overindulged. And this is clearly played up for the cameras. They're both trying to hide a smile when they boohooed and they stormed out of the party. I would have been embarrassed to do that even if it was a fake thing that production told you to play this up and your mommy and daddy know that you're doing this for a storyline. That would still be totally humiliating to storm out of a place like that. And if it's for real, then they deserve each other. And Betty and Ron deserve to have a child treat them that way because they raised a little baby monster man. Or I should say a little baby monster man boy. Now let's talk about Natalie and Mike and fucking Trish. I 100% believe that Trish called Natalie a hooker. I think she was stupid enough to think that Natalie wouldn't know that word and that she could get away with it. And in a certain way, she's right because Mike doesn't believe Natalie that she said that, but 100% she said that under her breath or maybe just loudly to her face because she knew Mike wasn't around and she knew she could get away with it. I don't think it's in any way any of Trish's business if Natalie is an interpreter or if she stays home and maybe tries to clean up that disgusting little house that's cramped and it's got shit everywhere. They don't need a hutch, a curio cabinet. There's nothing in it except old plastic cups and shit. Anyway, I hate that freaking house that he has because it could be really cute. They can make it cozy, but he is so stubborn and set in his ways that he really doesn't want Natalie to feel comfortable there. It's almost like he wins even if he's uncomfortable in the house with her. As long as he makes her more uncomfortable than him, he wins. Does that make any sense? All right, so the fact that Trish thinks it's any of her business that she would get into her grown man's son's wife's professional aspirations is outrageous. Whether Natalie wants to be an interpreter or a journalist or an influencer, well, first of all, good luck with that. But it's none of Trish's business. She's just jealous because Natalie gets to sleep next to Mike every night, which is obviously where Trish wants to be. She wants to curl up with her son, nuzzle him and spoon him and rub him all over. Like, she would be the mom that would reach over and put her hand on his knee or rub his back or like run her fingers through his hair. You know, he's like, oh, mom, I love when you did that when I was younger. Come on, mama, scratch my head. Scratchy backy. Gross. And actually, you saw a twinge of pure jealousy, really, when Mike went into the kitchen and started rubbing up on Natalie when he was like grabbing her boobs and her butt and other things. Trish turned around with a look in her eye of, I want your hands on me. And she was like, Michael, come on, Michael, don't do that. But it wasn't in a way of like, come on, don't do that to your wife. She's uncomfortable. It's a, I'm uncomfortable because I want those hands all over my body. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. Do you? I really think she has a weird incestual thing. It's kind of like the Giudices, Teresa and her brother Joe. More so Teresa wants to get in Joe's pants, but like Joe's okay with her having that possessiveness over him. And this is the same kind of thing. In particular, the thing with the scarves was so telling of a true narcissist. Trish sat down and was thinking that she is doing Natalie a huge favor, that she is opening her heart and she's gifting Natalie with her innate gift of knitting scarves. Like, come on over, Natalie, pick a scarf. Like, she's going to treat her to something special. And that's when Natalie's like, no, I don't. My mom said not to talk to you. I'm sorry. I listened to my mom. Bye. And she stormed out the door. It wasn't the most elegant way or, oh God, see, I was about to say articulate, but now I'm triggering myself because that is what Heather on Real Housewives of New York said to Ebony. And it was just a horrible, horrible thing. That was one of the worst things I have ever seen on TV. Well, I take that back. I mean, we did have a Capitol stormed and everything, but it was really a shocking moment that Heather actually said that. So I don't even want to use the word articulate. I'm just going to stay far away from it. Trish is really showing how a narcissist operates in this situation. Clearly, no one wants your fucking shitty scarves. And if you go deep into this, this scarf thing is layered. Trish has made scarves for people and thought it is such an amazing gift. It's such a great thing. She fancies herself very talented in this scarf making thing. And some of you may be very talented in making scarves. I saw her scarf. She's wearing it. Not that great. Doesn't look that complicated. Okay. It's like a, she went to a class at a park district or something, learned how to put it together. And now she thinks she should have a booth at a craft fair because she knows one sort of knit and one sort of yarn. Maybe she's graduated to different kinds of yarns because the one she was wearing was kind of like mohair. And the one she was offering Natalie were like dollar store yarns, the scratchy ones, the ones that you would make the little finger knitting things when you were younger. Oh my God, remember that? That'd be so good. But then your hands would be really dry because you're yanking that piece of yarn over your fingers. Anyway, this means that Trish has gifted many, many people these scarves and put people in the position where they had to pretend and kiss her ass, because that's what people default to when you're around a narcissist. So for example, let's say I'm a coworker or a roommate of Trish, and she says she has a Christmas gift for me. We're going to exchange gifts. Maybe I go and I get her a peach Bellini candle from Bath and Body Works. You guys remember that viral YouTube video? If not, go and Google peach Bellini candle lady and you're welcome. Anyhow, she gives me a gift of her scarf. What am I going to say in that moment? Oh my gosh, thank you. You made this? No, I love it. This is the perfect color. I love purple. I mean, you have no choice but to kiss someone's ass when they make you something homemade, right? From hand. What is going on with me today? I am so worked up about this. Okay, so she has been thinking people love her scarf. She even said so. No, they really don't, Trish. They have no other choice but to tell you that they love it and that they're going to wear it. But I guarantee you that is going right in the Goodwill bag. Unless, like I said, you are gifted in knitting and it's something not made from Trish. Then you're allowed to keep it. But Trish's scarves, not that great. They looked a little skinny. It wasn't like a nice thick, wide one where you could just kind of throw it on and wrap it around. This is like old school, scratchy, tight, very narrow scarf. So Natalie refuses it, and now she is personally insulted. The scarf insulted her, the refusal of the scarf. But none of the things that she said to Natalie, Natalie should take personally. So Natalie goes out in the car. She's sitting in there and she is kind of pouting, like turning her body, looking the other way. It's not helping her situation. But then Mike comes storming out and he says, and I quote, "Are you having a major malfunction or what? You're acting like a child. What's up? What was so disrespectful? Answer the question. What was disrespectful?" Well, first of all, you asking someone, "Are you having a major malfunction or what?" is so condescending. I would become speechless too. I wouldn't know how to respond to that because it is such a dick move. She might be acting like a child because you're speaking to her like a child. And it's so shocking in that moment that you don't know how to respond. I think we've all been in situations, or we can all think of a time where someone has said something to you, or you're in an argument, maybe with your partner, your spouse, and all of a sudden you just go silent because you don't know what to say, or you're so upset that you know really horrible things are going to come out of your mouth. But then later you can think of a million different ways that you could have said something. But in the moment, you just sit there and you don't say anything. I think that's what's going on with Natalie. But Mike and his mom are just teaming up, just tag teaming, berating her. And Mike saying, "What was so disrespectful? What was so disrespectful?" It's not one specific thing. It's Trisha's attitude. It's the way she says things. It's the going back and forth, like ship her off to another country, give her $5,000 and send her back to Ukraine, or you need to be making money, you need to have a job. But then on the flip side saying, "Well, you're going to start having grandkids. I mean, you're really getting up in age there. I would love to have some grandkids." Well, which way do you want it, Trish? You want her to stick around and you want her to have grandkids, or do you want her out of the picture? She just loves needling Natalie, and she thinks she's really good at it. God, there's so many things I want to say right now, but let me just put it this way. I have been in this almost exact situation, but it is a really tough place to be in, because if you respond and if you say what you want to say, you're going to make it worse for you and your partner. Like, if Natalie snaps back and says anything more than she said to Trish, then Mike is really going to be mad at her. Look at the way he's speaking to her already. And for Trish in front of Mike to now play dumb, like she's the victim. I don't know what I did to hurt your feelings, Natalie. You, just being you, hurt her feelings because you are a bitch and you are very calculated and conniving. And for someone who's so smart, how is it that you don't know that you hurt her feelings or how you hurt her feelings? Oh, God. All right. So they go back to the airport and then Mike and Trish are just standing there like, doom, 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 doom. She sure did a number on raising her son. She raised a man who is exactly who she is in man form. And I can't see after the season that any woman would want to date him. And I was rooting for him. I fell for it. And then he shows this side and he's so certain he's right because his mommy is doing the same thing. So he thinks it's totally cool. And I think the nicest Mike could be, the most loving he could be, is just like a neutral state. I can't see him being a very generous or giving person. Like, he just thinks, well, if I just do what I'm doing and I say I love you, that should be enough. What more do you want from me? He's an asshole. Good luck to him, because I think he's going to have a hard time in the love department in the future. But Natalie does need to go back home. She could find someone more suited for her. And Mike, well, like I said, good luck, because most women who are living, at least here in the United States, we're going to be Googling your ass. As soon as we meet you or you know your name, we're Googling you. Or if you don't know how to do it, send his name to me and I can pull up anything you'd like. Amanda started talking to a guy online and I was able to find tickets that he had gotten like 15, 20 years ago in a completely different state. Everyone has one of those friends, hopefully. And if you don't, like I said, come on over, sit next to me. I can point you in the direction of almost every state database where you can get at least a little bit of a background search on someone for free. All right, moving along very quickly, Kalani and Asuelu. Ugh. Don't book a little cabin. Anything that, any facility where you can park an RV without having to check ahead of time wouldn't necessarily be a romantic getaway for most women, I'd say. He tried, though. Oh, but it was rough. As soon as I saw those Clorox wipes come out and they were wiping the walls down, I knew they were probably covered with like boogers and blood and blah. I would not lay in that bunk bed. There's no way. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone. So actually, you know what? Jump ahead 30 to 45 seconds. If you plan on staying anywhere at a hotel or any cabins with bunk beds. Okay, those of you who are sticking around, you know why you don't want to do that? And you know why I've never done that? Who sleeps in bunk beds? Kids. And what do? They pick their fucking noses and then they wipe it places. Every bunk bed, I guarantee, is going to be covered in nasal mucus membranes from thousands of kids. Blah. Okay, let's move on. Okay, we're back. We're not talking about bunk beds anymore. As you know, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone, even my pickiest of eaters. I love switching between the brands, and now you, my listeners, can enjoy both brands at a discount with me. There are so many reasons HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit and why I personally signed up and have continued getting HelloFresh delivered almost weekly. Now, let me explain why I said almost weekly. It's not that I don't love having my dinners planned, prepped, picked ahead of time, and delivered fresh to my door. It's because life is unpredictable and our schedules can get crazy, especially now when some of us are going back to work in the office. Now, thankfully, HelloFresh is completely flexible, ready to accommodate for us. Dave was working from home this past year, and HelloFresh was truly a lifesaver when it came to us being able to quickly pull off a home-cooked meal between his conference calls or late nights. But now that he's starting to travel again, there are weeks when having a few meals delivered wouldn't be the best fit for my family. HelloFresh makes it so easy to just go online with one or two clicks, skip a week, or even adjust the meals we want for the week. You can even pick which day of the week you want your meals delivered, so you're getting the freshest ingredients possible. For us, we preferred getting our meals delivered on Tuesdays, and we usually picked three meals for the week, but you can choose how many or how few you want. And if you're cooking for different diets, HelloFresh will become your lifeline. Now that Dave's been diagnosed with diabetes, he's had to watch all of his carbs and his sugar intake. But all we do with HelloFresh is look at the 25 or more meals to choose from each week. We look at any of the carb smart options, like the Bavette steak and mushroom sauce. We're going to get the steak and lobster tail in a couple weeks. Super stoked because, as many of you know, I have never tasted lobster before. I would be way too afraid or intimidated to buy it at the grocery store. So HelloFresh is perfect for this kind of thing. There is no fear because you're getting a recipe that is like cooking 101. It couldn't be easier. Step by step, everything's there for you. But back to the dietary stuff. If you track your meals for whatever reason, like I said, Dave does that for his diabetes. Maybe you're on a special diet or you're trying to do keto, whatever it might be. All you have to do is plug in HelloFresh into whatever app you're using to track, and all of their meals and portions are right in there. No need to count calories or figure out your portion size and your carbs. All the math is done for you. Get HelloFresh completely free right now. Give it a try. You have nothing to lose. Go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12 and use code RealityTV12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh.com/RealityTV12 and use code RealityTV12 for 12 free meals, including the free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Okay, let's get into this Erica Jayne, Tom Girardi documentary on Hulu. It is called The Housewife and the Hustler. It's way better than I expected, especially because it said an ABC News special. So at first I'm thinking, is this going to be a 2020 kind of feel to it or a Dateline kind of feel? And it's not, because it has the feel of an HBO documentary. And I think HBO documentaries are some of the highest quality ones there are, at least for the layperson like myself. You know, you're getting the story, but then they cut away to the victims or the people that worked with Tom. And it has the feel of, what was that Michael Jackson documentary? Breaking Neverland or whatever, Finding Neverland. It had that same kind of feel to it, which was good because it really showed the gravity and the darkness to what was going on. The pain that all of these survivors and victims of Tom and Erica's not even went through, but are still going through. So I'm going to really just go through this documentary here, maybe for those of you who have already watched it, or maybe you don't have Hulu. So right off the bat, we open and you just see a woman, you can't see her face yet, walking towards the camera to go sit down. And they're in a what looks to be like a Chanel pantsuit, something very expensive and probably something that still has a tag on it that's going to be returned. Because who is it? The one and only Danielle Staub. She doesn't look great, okay? She's never been one to lay off or say less is more in regards to plastic surgery or just anything in general. And she's looking rough. I mean, her face has all different kinds of geometry that I've never seen on a face before. And not only Danielle, but really every woman that was on this documentary, whoever the makeup artist was that came in and probably did touch-ups or helped them out or maybe just did all their makeup altogether, was very heavy-handed. Such heavy makeup on every woman, from Danielle Staub to the paralegal. I'm going to get to, I think her name is Kim later. Even Heather McDonald and, whoa, another surprise witness, I guess we would say. It was just very heavy. Like, it was like creasing and cakey and really gross. Now, seeing it on Danielle Staub, not a huge surprise, but it was quite a look. So she's on there to tell us about her history with Erica Jane. And she's like, well, I first met Erica Jane on Watch What Happens Live. And I think I've met her once or two times I've met her. And it's like, okay, why is she on here? And what I can only conclude is the only reason they had Danielle Staub on here was for people who don't watch Housewives to get a flavor of what Housewives can be. And they're throwing a lot of shade to have the only other housewife on here, Danielle Staub, and I guess a friend of later, surprise witness that I'll mention in a little bit, that's doing her real dirty. Okay, so Danielle says that she met Erica Jane on Watch What Happens Live, and she and Erica worked at Shakers, a strip club. Well, I think that's a stretch because I don't think they actually worked together. I think they both worked there, maybe in different decades, but I think even back then, Erica would never want to be seen or associated with Beverly. I know that was very risky for me to call her Beverly, but listen, Beverly would never have been running in the same circles as Erica because Erica is not only a narcissist like most housewives, but maybe a sociopath. Is that too much? Is that too harsh? All right, let's get into the nitty gritty of it. Back in 2010, I believe, there was a gas explosion and there was a guy named Joe Rio Gomez, and he was just inside his house with his girlfriend. They go to sit down to watch a football game, and then all of a sudden the ground shook and his house exploded. So he crawls out, and the doctors were saying that when he got to the hospital, he was like burning from the inside out and outside in. Like every time he took a breath, it was burning his lungs. He was still that hot. I mean, it was horrible. His girlfriend died. And while he was still in the hospital, Tom and his assistant or his paralegal were like, yeah, we're going to get over there. We're going to represent your case. This is horrible. And he remembers Tom walking in and he's like, yeah, he's like 5'5 or 5'3 at the most. And he walked in there and he was super genuine. And he wasn't going to let anything happen to this Joe or his family, that he wanted to make, you know, the big guys pay. They're going to get down to the bottom of this gas leak, why it happened. So he gave Joe's mom his resume, and right away, I would like to think I would have red flags, but again, I mean, hindsight is 20/20, and we know what happened, and we know not to trust any Tom Girardi now. But at the time, I could see he's got a big name. He is famous for a bunch of different cases. But his resume that he gave Joe's mom was just stapled in the corner. And then he gave her copies of magazines that he's been in with just post-its on all the different pages where they mentioned his name. I would think someone of that caliber, if they're going to give out their resume, it wouldn't just be stapled in the corner. You know, like copy collated, stapled automatically. Oh, here you go. Wouldn't it be in a nice little folder? Maybe you put the resume in the folder and then the magazines on the side, color copies of the magazines or something. It just seemed haphazard. That would catch me off guard. Okay, now then Tom tells them they are going to go to trial, right? They're going to sue this gas company or the city. Joe is going to have surgeries for the rest of his life. And obviously, he's been burned and maimed. He's never going to be the same, even just physically and emotionally. But then the day that they're supposed to go to trial, Joe and his mom walk in and Tom meets them before they can even sit down. He's like, hey, listen, so we settled. Are you OK with that? And they're like, well, I guess. Like, he gave them the choice if they wanted to go to trial, but he really didn't. And he's like, listen, this money is a great amount of money. We couldn't really do much better. I say we just do this, all good. So they're like, all right, well, I mean, he's the best guy in the business. Let's listen to him. Even though they weren't totally okay with the settlement, they took it. This is where, I mean, I don't know if you want to call it a hustle, a scam, downright cruelty, but he doesn't tell them that the money that they're supposed to get, that they will get, that they did get, should go into a trust that cannot and should not be touched at all. And some of the other attorneys on here, like Sunny, the woman who is on The View, she's an attorney. They had Christopher Darden on here, another guy who's also on Tom's level. They're all calling him out because they're like, every attorney knows that to touch that money would be instant disbarment. He can't say he didn't know or he was ignorant to this fact. It's just like law 101 that the money goes into a trust and it cannot be touched. Tom, though, tells Joe and his mom he got their settlement money and he put it into an account that's going to earn 6% interest. And he even did all of this in writing on his letterhead and everything, which is stupid if you're going to be breaking the law as an attorney. But it's also kind of smart if you're a scammer like this, because if I'm going to get a legal document from my attorney saying you're going to have all your money in this trust, it's earning 6% interest, and you're going to get your payments once a month on the first of every month, I would be like, oh, okay, well, this is how it's done. I probably wouldn't question it again because he's got the nice smile. He's giving him phone calls all the time. Well, what do you know? The time comes for them to get their monthly paycheck from the settlement and it doesn't arrive. And then they would get it maybe a week or two late and they get it the next month on time and then they wouldn't get it for a couple months. So they're calling Tom up going, okay, what's going on? We're struggling here. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their medical bills. And then Tom would call them back and say like, oh, I want to just meet with you personally. I've never liked or loved a family like I've loved your family before. Don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. And they had these recordings of him actually leaving these messages, which was very smart on their part to keep those messages. So, you know, what do you say in that situation? It's very manipulative on his part. And it was really hard for me, I'm not going to lie, to think of him as a scammer because he has the sweet face and the kind eyes. And you think, oh, he's like an older guy. But how did he not know? I mean, obviously he knew, but just like, how could he do that? But that again is like a sociopath thing. And we're going to get to Erica Jane and like what she maybe did or didn't know. I think she had to later. But now let's talk about one of the other victims, because there are several. There's this woman named Josie Hernandez, and she had gotten one of those sleeves for incontinence. and it didn't work. And so she got another one, and it was like a whole thing, and they sued for medical malpractice. And she went with Tom Girardi because, you know, again, he's the best in the biz. He's super sincere, you know, laid it on thick that he cares about her. He's all about the little guy. And they went for a settlement, and it was for $135,000. But over time, she wasn't getting her money. And then they would say, oh, well, they handed off your case to one of the other attorneys in the office. And this happened several times. And finally, she's like, listen, I don't know who I'm dealing with. Tell Girardi, I need to know what's going on with my case. I need a phone call. I need to speak with him. Tom calls her, and she has this recorded too. And he's like, don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. I'm on your side. Believe me. I mean, we want our money too. This is actual quotes I'm writing down that he said. I'm a good guy. I'm on your side. Believe me. Don't be mad at me. Now, where he went wrong with that one, he did get his money. Josie finds out because she had filed a complaint against Tom, and this might have been the first one, or at least the first one that set the ball in motion. Through discovery of that case, they found out that there was a money transfer, that his firm did have her settlement of $135,000 back in May of 2020. So this is like fairly recent stuff. May 2020, he had the money, and all of these calls to her saying, believe me, we want our money too. I'm the good guy. I'm on your side. I know it's so frustrating, right? Was 3 months later in August. And still now, as of June 2021, she still has not gotten a penny of that, when she should have gotten, after all the legal fees were taken out of that $135K, she should have gotten somewhere around $100,000. Still has not seen a dime of it. Then we go back to Joe. Remember Joe, who was burned all over his body? He kind of played a different strategy with Joe. At least, well, Joe and his mom and Josie, he kind of handled all the women in the same way. Don't be mad at me. Kind of like the meek little victim. I'm on your side. But with Joe, he kind of went like macho man. He would always say to him, you're a bitchin' guy. Where I'm like, okay, did you hear Erica say that once? And now you think that's what the youths say? And he would make comments about Erica's videos and like, oh, do you like my tie? Yeah, Erica, you know, my hot younger wife, she picked this out for me. Well, he tells Joe that that money that keeps showing up late, not on time, that's supposed to be in this special account earning 6% interest, that there's a judge, or Justice Pennelly, was supposed to be like watching over his case. This is what Tom's saying. This absolutely never happened. Justice Pennelly said he had never had any involvement in any of that case, and that had he been involved, he would have just distributed all of the settlement funds to the client immediately. There would never have been any of this stuff going on. And this starts a whole other part of the documentary that I'm not going to go into too much, but it really talks about the power and the reputation that Tom had in the legal and even political system, because he had a lot of ties to judges. They were saying like judges would just fall to their feet in Tom's presence. Like he could just like call them over or give them a phone call and they'd all be at his beck and call, which is, I don't think, great, right? Judges are supposed to be impartial. And I also thought it was really interesting that this justice or Judge Pennelly, he doesn't like go to court. He's not in a courtroom. He's just like an independent judge, and they can just do mediations and stuff like that. I just didn't even know that existed. I was like, okay, you can just be an independent judge. That's just weird to me. Anyhow, now it starts to get real dark, because that paralegal of Tom's, her name is Kim. She'd been working with Tom, had a great relationship with him. She's thinking he's like, okay, he's the good guy. But then her eyes start opening, because she's hearing from, you know, the Josies and the Joes and Joe's mom, whose name is Kathy, by the way. They start becoming best of friends. How perfect is that? Kathy and Kim. And suddenly there's a tragedy. Kim's son, remember Kim, the paralegal, her son dies in a motorcycle accident. So she's kind of in a position where she has to ask Tom to represent them in the case because it would be completely awkward if she didn't. She's working for the guy, even though she knows Tom is maybe doing some things he shouldn't be doing or things aren't adding up. What is she going to say? Like, we have this lawsuit, but we're not going to go with you, even though I've been working with you for X amount of years. It would be totally awkward. And since most women have to be kind and nice and we don't want to upset anyone, we end up going against our better judgment in a lot of things. And she tells Tom that he's going to take the case with her son. Now, around this time, she finds out from Joe and Joe's mom, Kathy, after she starts doing a little bit of digging here, that the last time Joe received money was in 2017. So it's been years since he's gotten any of his money. But knowing this, they're now stuck in a tough position because even though Kath and Kim want to bring some justice and call Tom on this shit, they didn't know who to call because Tom is chummy with everyone. He knows the judges and district attorneys and all the different people who would bring Tom in and ask him what's going on. So they didn't know what to do. Now, put a pin in that for a moment, because as we all know, November of 2020 was when Erica announced this divorce. Now, allegedly, it was not a surprise in the Beverly Hills community that people knew this all along, that Erica and Tom really weren't the super happy in love couple that she likes to portray on the show. I think I remember saying that I told you that I knew someone who knew for a fact that she was living in that babe cave where she said she just goes to get all her glam or whatever, that condo. Now, she was living there, she was getting mail there, whatever. But at this time of the divorce, which was on Election Day, if I remember correctly, that's where we learn that there were more money problems, that he hadn't paid back a lot of loans. And that's where some of his fellow attorneys that were on the same level as him were like, wait, hold on a second. Why would he need loans? He has millions. He should have millions in the bank. You know, people ask him for loans, not the other way around. Now, Kim, right around this time, has a decision to make because as the divorce is coming out, they're learning about these loans as a result of the divorce. You know, they have to separate their finances and figure all that stuff out. Now she's got to decide, okay, well, now I know that this guy is up to no good. What are we going to do about Joe's settlement? Because now she's best friends with Kathy. So Kim quits and she's like, I cannot work for this guy anymore. But we are going to work to bring any and all funds that we can towards Joe and the rest of his life. So they then pursue other legal representation in suing Tom for all the crazy shit that he was doing with Joe's money. Obviously, he didn't have Joe's money because he wasn't even paying Joe out any of the monthly funds that he was supposed to be paying him that was allegedly sitting in an account earning 6% interest. They won and they settled. Oh, I guess you wouldn't say they won. They settled for $12 million. So there's a $12 million judgment against Tom for the mishandling of Joe's money and for lying and all that other kind of crazy shit that he was doing. Somehow summer is already here, which means it's time to prepare for skin and skincare changes. But don't fear, Agency is here. When it comes to treating your unique skincare needs, Agency knows that nothing beats the power of a prescription formula with research-based ingredients adjusted to the exact strengths you need by a licensed dermatology provider. Now, I'm on my second or third bottle of my custom Future Formula by Agency, and I can attest to the fact that Agency knows what they are doing. I listened to my dermatology provider about how my skin would adjust to my prescription, and she was right. I do not need a bunch of different products to get the results I am looking for. For me, I want to help treat the fine lines I'm starting to get around my mouth, but I also want to make sure that I'm getting hydration in other drier areas, like around my eyes. But how does Agency do it? Well, After you answer questions about your skin, you upload a few pictures of yourself without makeup on, and a licensed dermatology provider will reach out to you with their personalized recommendation. Now, we're not talking about several products. All I do is wash my face with my same basic cleanser, and then I apply my moisturizer first because my skin can get a little dry, and then I apply my custom Future formula. Your provider may adjust that routine a little bit, but that's all there is. I love it because I can still use my favorite over-the-counter moisturizer and cleanser that I absolutely love. Here's the thing though. Agency continues to check up on you to see how you're responding to your treatment too. So if anything does need to be adjusted, it's not a problem at all. And over time, you can adjust your entire formula to suit your skin as it ages. Do what I did and try out Agency, the personalized anti-aging skincare that evolves with you. Go to withagency.com/realityTV for a free 30-day trial. Just paying $4.95 for shipping and handling. That's withagency.com/realityTV to unlock your free 30-day trial. See withagency.com for all the details, subject to consultation. Link is in the show notes. That's withagency.com/realityTV. This is where I think this documentary just shined. This is where we see Tom sitting down for a deposition. This settlement became a judgment. He's got to pay this out. So what is the status of your funds? And this is where, looking at him, he does look like he has aged 30 years in this past year. He does not look good. And I don't think it was him putting on like, I'm old. I don't know what I'm doing. He's an older guy. And I do think there is some dementia setting in, but I don't think that was there at the time that he started all this stuff. I think he just got in way over his head. I think he was trying to keep up with the Erica Janes. He was trying to keep up with the demands and this image. He's a prideful, successful guy, and I think he just got caught up. It's kind of like all of the stories that I've been watching on that HBO documentary series, Generation Hustle. Go and watch that. There's maybe like 8 or 10 episodes. They're excellent. They're just like little 45-minute stories about scammers, Jesus, who all say it started small and then they just had to keep covering up one lie with another, and then it just snowballs and it's so much bigger than themselves that even if they want to get out of it, they can't. And I think that's what happened with Tom. All right, so now we have this deposition that he's sitting for. He looks helpless and pathetic and sad, but he said, I had $50 to $80 million in cash and a portfolio, but all that's gone. And that's where all eyes go to Erica, because now we see her on the show. She's spending $100,000 a month on glam and her glam squad and all of her Cartier jewelry and her shoes, and she's giving tours of the house and all this excess. And they start showing all of her videos. You know, it's expensive to be me. And they're showing all these photos of her first or second face. So they're like, okay, well, where did the money go? Erica's not making a profit, even on these concerts she's doing. By the time she's paying all of her fees and flying her glam squad here, there, and everywhere, she's in the hole. She's not making money on this stuff. Whatever money she's making from Housewives, she's got to pay out her whole entourage. So where did the money go? Obviously to Erica's stuff. Now, Erica was scheduled for 2 dates to sit for a deposition, but both of them were postponed. So she's never sat for questions. There was one in May 2020 that she was supposed to sit for, and in September 2020 that she was supposed to sit for, and they're both postponed. Now, why would she want them postponed? I don't know. To maybe continue hiding money offshore? I don't know what I believe in this. I mean, I would think at the time that Tom was doing this, I mean, he's stupid because he did all this, but was he smart enough to put money elsewhere where it could never be found? Or was he just in the thick of it with Erica in this lifestyle and entertaining and going to steakhouses and living this life as Mr. Girardi, that he really just was throwing money at nothing? Because he doesn't seem like a big saver. I mean, Erica certainly isn't. So that's what the question is. Where is this money? Did it go towards all of Erica's excessive spending and her clothes and her hair and all that kind of stuff? And what can they recoup? So now we go to December 2020. Erica is still not sat for those depositions. And that's when a Chicago attorney files a claim against Tom for all of his clients. And this was the Lion Airlines case. And I know I have to go and look at this case, but I'm almost dreading it because I don't want to know all the details. I know there were like a lot of children that were killed because they showed all of these little kids' shoes lined up in the wreckage. And ooh, yikes. Now, in talking about this case, my jaw dropped because I realized that the person that was telling us about their reputation around Beverly Hills and telling us about this Lions Airlines case is the one and only Dana Wilkie. You guys, I did not even recognize her. I must have been, I don't know, sipping my vodka tonic or something or yelling at my kids to give me another minute when they put her little Chiron on there. $25,000 sunglasses. That $25,000 should have gone towards keeping her face looking the same because she really looks completely different. I just thought she was a journalist, a broadcaster who was filling us in on what she knew on the case. Wow. If you watched it, you guys let me know. Am I just that much of an idiot that I don't remember what Dana Wilkie looked like? She's beautiful, but she's not the Dana Wilkie that I remember with the contrasting highlights and the over-the-top personality. She's very blue dress with a little red belt. The way they shot her too, like she's got a nice figure, but the way they shot her, she's sitting there and like no woman wants to be shot where you're sitting down and the camera is just like head on right there. So it was just not flattering at all. But I guess that she deserves that too, because wasn't she in prison for scamming people? This is all coming back to me. Maybe that's why they had her on, because she kind of did the same thing. I swear I remember this, that she went to prison for scamming people out of money. So who is she to be talking about Tom? Holy shit. I'm going to write this down because now I'm going to have to deep dive that one. Dana Wilkie, Jesus. Okay, so I promise I'm going to be like wrapping this up. This was going on way longer than I thought. So now Judge Thomas Durkin finds Tom in contempt and they freeze his account. They freeze the firm's account. And they refer all of this to federal prosecutors, which means, according to Sonny, time behind bars. One of the articles that was written about this case said $50 to $80 million that Tom said he had, that approximately $20 million went into EJ Productions, Erica Jane's production thing. $20 million. That is more money than people will ever see in a lifetime. And the fact that she could blow that on making a music video when people don't even watch music videos anymore. MTV doesn't even have music videos. And she's doing tours and stupid Mikey and her dumb shoes and her crazy hairdos. So imagine what it's like for people to be watching this, knowing that their money is just being pissed away on Mikey picking out dancers, pretending that he's a choreographer. Well, he probably is. Either he's pretending to be a choreographer, he's pretending to be a stylist. Either or, same difference. Currently, Tom is under a conservatorship, kind of like our girl Brittany. He has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, although people are like, you know, I don't know. I think that's kind of weird because just several months ago in 2020, he was speaking at events, but now all of a sudden he has Alzheimer's. I actually do believe that. My dad didn't have Alzheimer's, but he did have brain disease with scar tissue and it affects your memory. And that can quickly escalate, as those of you who also have relatives or, you know, I've had relatives with Alzheimer's and there's no set timeline on it. So I can believe that it's progressed to a point, especially if he's under a lot of stress. It's not going to slow down, right? If he has it, it's going to be pretty progressive. So I do believe that. Do I believe that should forget everything that he's done? Absolutely not. The courts forced Girardi into involuntary bankruptcy. The bankruptcy trustees are now liquidating his assets to pay back creditors. That includes listing the Pasadena mansion and his Wilshire Boulevard office buildings. There are 9,000 cases, 900 100 clients that his law firm has worked with. So, I mean, what happens to all of these? We know of just a couple. Are they going to go through all of this and try to find if other people are out money? That's a lot of people and that's a lot of money. Now, in late March of this year, the California State Bar files charges. He can't practice law in California anywhere. Erica is apparently worth more than Tom now because obviously he's not practicing law. The law firm is, I think, just done. She's still got housewives. She's still on the current season. She could get dragged in with all of this and still make it out on top, or she could get dragged in with all of his stuff and she could end up in severe debt. And they do this interview with her where, oh gosh, who's interviewing her? It might be Cynthia McFadden. I guess doesn't really matter. But they're asking her, like, what would it be like to not live in this mansion, to downsize or to not have as much money as you have now? And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. And she's like, well, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to live with any less than means like this, but I could. You know, just deflection. I have to think she knew this shit was going down. She lives with the guy. I don't think in a romantic, real partnership, but of course she's going to have to know this stuff. These cases that he was working on are huge cases, and she's not stupid. She had to know these people were not getting their money. I think she just voluntarily turned a blind eye to it. But I do think that all of the stuff that she got as gifts, which is what she's claiming, that they were gifts and they shouldn't be taken away from her, of course they should be. And she should be volunteering a bunch of that shit up, seeing that there are orphans and burn victims and people who have been through health scams, and you have at least a little bit of means to make that better for them. It's just sickening. I can't stand her anymore. In the end, we see that Kathy and Kim, the paralegal, Kathy, Joe's mom, they're still best friends and they're like fighting this to the end. Obviously, they're doing this documentary. Joe shows all of his scars. I mean, this guy has been through hell and back and is still living in it. He's like, I'm going to have surgeries for the rest of my life. I will never live the same way. He's probably never going to be able to trust anyone. Tom has not responded to anything, even though that mansion is in involuntary bankruptcy. So it's going to be foreclosed or at least seized from him, I guess, if it's paid off. They're still letting him live in it, probably because the bank knows that it's going to be a while before they can sell it and recoup some of the money. Erica moved out of the mansion in the fall. She didn't want to be interviewed, of course, because, you know, she's got all eyes on her. But she remains a housewife. And I think in this week's episode, she's going to be talking about at least the divorce part of it. I think she's complicit in it. I think, you know, she may not have actively told Tom, put the money here, do this, do that. But she knew the money that she was spending came from somewhere. And some shady, shady stuff had been going on for years and years. Now, stay tuned because there is going to be another documentary that we're going to have to discuss, even though we know all the facts of it. Who doesn't love a great documentary, even if it's something that we know from top to bottom, in and out? July 12th, either on HBO or Hulu, Catch and Kill, you know, Ronan Farrow, they're making that into a documentary or a documentary series. It might be like a 2-3-parter. Anyway, I'm totally in it. And if it's going to expose Harvey Weinstein even more, I'm all for it. So stay tuned for that. And let's see. Coming up this week on We Love to Hate TV, Amanda and I are going to start wrapping up Marriage Bootcamp. And we're super excited about this, actually. We're going to go back and watch season one of Seeking Sister Wife. Now, if you remember, that includes the Brineys and that crazy-ass, batshit crazy April Briney. So check that out. And then coming up on Total Request Podcast, season one, episode one, pilot of The Office. And I assigned Amanda to watch another terrible, really embarrassing, cringy episode of Dawson's Creek. This one is entitled Love Lines, and it has some old school Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla on it. So Thank you guys for listening, and I'll be back soon in probably about 2 or 3 weeks. In the meantime, make sure you check out We Love to Hate Everything here on your free podcast app. And until next time, take care of yourself, get your vaccine, and stay salty.